Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that good reading there from 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep their Bibles open there to 1 Peter chapter 2, because we're going to begin there in just a moment. And we're going to discuss our lesson this morning titled, As Newborn Babes. You see, it's important before we dive in here to 1 Peter chapter 2 to understand the context here in 1 Peter. And here in 1 Peter, beginning there in chapter 1, Peter talks about the precious redeeming blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he concludes chapter 1 there by talking about the ever-enduring Word of God. And as we see here, as chapter 1 concludes with verse 25, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the Word which by the Gospel was preached to you. And he begins here in verse 1 of chapter 2 with the word therefore. Now we know why that word therefore is there. Because he just emphasized the precious redeeming blood of Christ. He just emphasized the ever-enduring Word of God. And in view of the precious redeeming blood of Christ and of the ever-enduring Word of God, Peter now exhorts Christians to take their moral responsibilities seriously. And he emphasizes the need for them to grow spiritually. And he also instructs them to be as newborn babes. Simply put, Peter is instructing one now on how to respond to the eternal Word of God. He talked about how God's Word is eternal. Now he's talking about and giving instruction and admonition on how to respond to it. And when you think about how Peter emphasizes these moral responsibilities that a Christian has, when you think about the instruction that Peter gives here for Christians to grow as newborn babes, I want to ask the question, have you ever thought about what it is about newborn babes that should characterize every Christian? That's a good question, isn't it? And I want you to consider that with me this morning. I want us to take some time this morning to consider and to think about what it is about newborn babies that should characterize every Christian. Because you see, as we see and we're going to dive into the text and find out, there are many things in relation to the exhortation of Peter found here in 1 Peter chapter 2 that describe newborn babes that should likewise characterize every Christian. So having that thought pressed upon our minds, let's take some time this morning to take a look at some characteristics of a newborn babe that should characterize every Christian. And I begin here as Peter instructs there in verse 1 to lay aside all malice. You see, as newborn babes are without malice, so must all Christians be. Now some of you may be thinking, well, what does that word malice even mean? And malice, when defined, is ill will or spite. It can be defined as an unkind disposition. And this type of disposition is a type of disposition that seeks to injure others for mere personal gratification, often resulting from a spirit which is seeking revenge. And here Peter begins by the need to lay aside all malice. He's telling Christians, you've had the word which was preached to you. You obeyed it out of a pure heart. Now you need to put it into practice. And you need to be one who lays aside all malice. You need to be one who does not have that ill will or spite disposition. You must not be one who seeks to injure the reputation of another out of pure personal gratification. You must not be one who seeks to have a spirit of seeking revenge. And it's important that we understand that as newborn babes are without malice, so must all Christians be. You see, as a newborn baby is free of this type of disposition. A newborn babe, it is free of being ill will or having a disposition of seeking to injure another. And just as a newborn baby is free of this type of disposition, every Christian must resolve to put away, once and for all, every form of malice. And as newborn babes are without malice, so must all Christians be. Remember that, my beloved brethren. Be without malice, and keep these words of Paul in mind, found there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. And there Paul said, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature." Hold on to those words. And as newborn babes without malice, may we understand that as Christians, we likewise must be. But we also go on to see there where Peter instructs not only to lay aside all malice, but he also says to lay aside all deceit. You see, deceit is deliberate and misleading concealment. It's false declaration. And here, Peter is making it very clear that Christians, you must lay aside all deceit. You see, the Christian is to lay aside deceit of all kinds. They are never in any manner must ever seek to mislead others by concealing or misrepresenting the truth. They must not be a fraud. It's important that as children of God, that we understand the responsibility that we have. Not only to lay aside all malice, but also to lay aside all deceit. And just as newborn babes are not fraudulent, they are not deceitful, Christians must likewise not be fraudulent or deceitful. When you think about the need to lay aside all deceit, be mindful of David's words as he proclaimed there in Psalm 32 and verse 2. And there he declared, "Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity." Now watch this. "And in whose spirit there is no deceit." But not only must we lay aside all malice and all deceit and be without such just as newborn babes are, but we must also, as newborn babes are without hypocrisy, so must Christians be. You see, a hypocrite is clearly defined as one who pretends to be someone they are not. They are a pretender. They are an actor. Simply put, hypocrisy is falseness, and it denotes two-faced actions. And as Christians, we must not be counterfeit. As Christians, we must know who we are, and we must always be who we say we are. As Christians and as children of God, as followers of Christ Jesus, we must never forget who we are. And we must never try to be someone that we are not. You see, newborn babes, they're not pretenders. Newborn babes, they're not actors. They're genuine and they're sincere. And just as a newborn babe is genuine and sincere, so must every Christian be. You see, Christians must be without hypocrisy. And we need to understand the seriousness of hypocrisy. We need to know that our Lord and Savior condemns hypocrisy. We learn about that in Matthew chapter 23. I encourage each and every one of you to jot that down and take some time to read that sometime after a while. Take time to read all the text there in Matthew 23. And highlight and notice the number of references in which Christ condemns hypocrisy. And realize the seriousness of it. And the need to be without it. You see, when I think about how a child of God should be, and I think about how a child of God must be one who seeks to do the things of God, the things from above, and not the things of this world or things of demonic wisdom. I can't help but to think about what James says there in James chapter 3. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to James chapter 3. And I want you to notice this with me here in James chapter 3. And let's just begin reading there in verse number 14. There James writes, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Now watch verse 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality," now watch it, "and without hypocrisy." Hold on to those words of James, brethren. Always seek to follow that wisdom which is from above rather than wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and demonic. And remember that when you seek to do those things and to follow that wisdom which is above, it's going to include being peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And just as newborn babes are without hypocrisy, so must all Christians be. But I also suggest to us this morning, in thought of as newborn babes, the need that Christians need not envy. As newborn babes, do not envy. You see, envy is simply jealousy and covetousness. It is being jealous of or wanting the prosperity or possessions enjoyed by others. And a newborn babe, it doesn't have that disposition, does it? A newborn babe is not one who has a resentful desire for another's advantages. A newborn babe is without envy. Therefore, as newborn babes, Christians must not be envious, and they must put away envy. The seriousness of the need to do this can be seen there in Galatians chapter 5. Go there with me, if you will, there to Galatians, the 5th chapter. And as good Bible students, we understand the context here in Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians chapter 5 here, Paul is talking about the need to walk in the Spirit. And then he gives a contrast of being led by the Spirit and the works of the flesh. And he talks about the works of the flesh and how they're evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. I'm in verse 20. Sorcery, hatred, contentions. Now watch it. Jealousies. That's what envy is defined as. Jealousies. And here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20, Paul's making it very clear that jealousy or envy, it's a work of the flesh. He even mentions envy specifically in verse number 21. When he says, "Envy, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and alike, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will" what? "They will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now you see the seriousness of the need to lay aside all envy, right? You see, just as newborn babes do not envy, so must a Christian not envy, knowing the consequence of such. Fast forwarding down there to verse number 25 and 26, notice what Paul says. He says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another," pay attention, "envying one another." See the seriousness of the need to not be envious? The need to put away all envy? You do, don't you? And just as newborn babes do not envy, so must a Christian not envy. But I also suggest to us this morning that as newborn babes speak no evil, a Christian must likewise speak no evil. You see, to speak evil is to speak against or put down another person. To speak evil is defined as being reproachful, unkind. It denotes slanderous speaking against others. And newborn babes speak no evil. And just as newborn babes speak no evil, all Christians must speak no evil. We need to be mindful of that, brethren. We need to take this to heart. We need to know that as a child of God, we have moral responsibilities to live up to. We need to understand the seriousness of our responsibility, brethren. We need to be mindful of the fact that just as newborn babes speak no evil, each and every one of us as a child of God must speak no evil. You see, evil speaking, it's very destructive. It's very destructive. Therefore, we must put away all evil speaking. We must lay aside all evil speaking at all times, brethren. We need to understand that we are brethren. We're a family. And we must not be people who go around speaking against one another or putting one another down. No matter what. At any time. Brethren, I encourage each and every one of us to lay aside all evil speaking and to learn to always speak that which is good and that which edifies. And to emphasize this, I want to remind us of the words of the Apostle Paul found there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 29. And there the Apostle writes, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification." Why, Paul? That it may impart grace to the hearers. Simply put, what the apostle is saying here, brethren, if you can't say anything nice at all, don't say nothing. And I want each and every one of us who is a child of God here this morning to take that to heart and to make application of it. If we cannot say anything nice about somebody, put a zipper on it. Keep your mouth shut. And remember, as newborn babes speak no evil, a Christian must likewise speak no evil. But I also suggest to us this morning, as newborn babes desire milk, Christians should crave the pure milk of the Word. You see, it's important to recognize that the word desire, it denotes a deep longing for. And as a newborn babe has an earnest desire for milk, as a newborn babe has a deep longing for or an yearning for their mother's milk, every Christian should have a deep longing for or yearning for the pure milk of the Word of God. You see, each Christian needs to have a fervent desire for the pure, untainted Word of God. They need to be one who thirsts for spiritual milk. We need to have that longing, brethren, for that spiritual, pure, untainted Word of God. We need to long for it. When I think about putting in perspective our need to long for the pure milk of the Word of God, I can't help but to think about as a deer pants for water. And as a deer pants for water, so should our soul as a Christian, every soul of a Christian should thirst for the all-inspired, living, powerful Word of God. We should be thirsty for it, brethren. Always, ever thirsty for the Word of God. You see, the untainted Word of God, it nourishes the soul as milk does the body. And just as we recognize a newborn baby depends upon that milk from its mother's breast in order to grow and to develop, we need to understand that as a Christian, our soul depends upon the pure milk of the Word of God. We need it. If we too are going to grow and to develop as a Christian. And here's another thing, brethren. The Christian should never get tired of the simple truths of the simple presented Word of God. I appreciate Bruce's prayer a few moments ago. I appreciate the prayer on my behalf that he prayed that I would present a lesson that was easy to understand. That was simple. I hope I'm doing that. And a Christian, they should never get tired of the simple truths. That is the pure milk of the Word. Christians should never get tired of the milk. Never get tired of the simple truths of the presented Word of God. And here's another thing. As newborn babes are expected to grow, so are Christians expected to grow. Think about that with me for a moment. Many of you are parents, and many of you recall the time when you held your little child, your little baby in your arms. Did you expect that child to stay that way forever? You didn't, did you? You expected that child to take nourishment from the milk and to grow thereby, right? You expected that child to grow and to develop and to mature. Well, you know what? That's exactly what God expects out of His children, Christians. He expects each and every one of His children to feast and thirst for the Word and to feast upon it, that they may grow thereby. Brethren, we all need to understand that each and every one of us are expected to grow. We're all expected to grow. No matter how young you are in the faith, no matter how long you've been in the faith, you're expected to grow. And we need to be one who feeds upon the Word of God, that we may grow and mature. You see, when I think about the need to grow thereby, and I think about some of the benefits of growing as we feast upon the Word and apply it, some of those benefits of growth includes things such as knowledge, holiness, and righteousness. All things that are unto the full measure of Christ's stature. That's our goal, brethren. Our goal is to measure up unto the full measure of Christ's stature. And if we're going to do that, we're going to have to not only desire the pure milk of the Word, but we're going to have to take advantage of opportunities to feed upon it, that we may grow thereby. Again, I now ask you, brethren, are these characteristic of newborn babes characterizing your moral responsibilities and your desire to grow as a Christian? Are they? If not, why not? For all Christians are to be without malice, deceit, hypocrisy, and envy. They are to speak no evil and are to desire the pure milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. So in light of what God's Word is to us, I encourage us all to receive it with a particular heart that is as newborn babes. Maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted their lives in obedience to the Lord and His will. I want us to recognize that those who receive the Word of God with a humble, honest heart, and that is willing to do what God's Word says, can submit to God's Word and His desire for them to be saved this very hour. You see, God desires for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. And if you have not yet submitted your life in obedience to the Lord and His will, we plead with you to do that. Because as we're about to sing here in a moment, we all need to be prepared for the judgment. Prepared to meet our God. And if you have not yet submitted your life in obedience to the Lord and His will, as of right now, you're not prepared to meet your Maker. You're not prepared to meet the Lord our God. But you can become prepared this very hour. For you have heard the Word of God, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We must keep on keeping on, remaining faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted their lives in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you have sin in your life. Maybe you'd just like to have the prayers and encouragement of the congregation. Whatever that may be, if we can help you in any way, won't you let that be made known now while we stand and sing the song Max's Blessing.